51. The bubbles came up slowly through the dark water, as though it had the same viscosity as warm honey. They burst onto the surface in a boiling white rash. Captain von Kleiner leaned across the foredeck rail of the Blücher and peered at the disturbance below him, with the absorption of a man attempting to read his own future in the murky mirror of the Rufiji waters. For almost 2 hours he had waited like this, drawing quietly on a succession of little black cheroots, occasionally easing his body into a more comfortable position. Although his body was at rest, his brain was busy, endlessly reviewing his preparations and his plans. His preparations were complete. He had mentally listed them and found no omissions. A party of 6 seamen had been dispatched 15 miles downstream by picket boat to the entrance of the delta. They were encamped on a hummock of high ground above the channel to watch the sea for the British blockade squadron. As Blücher crept up the channel, she had sown the last of her globular multi-horn mines behind her. No British ship could follow her. Remote as the chances of overland attack seemed, yet von Kleiner had set up a system of defence around the Blücher. Half his seamen were ashore now, spread in a network to guard each of the possible approaches. Fields of fire had been cut through the mangroves for his Maxim guns. Crude fortifications of log and earth had been built and manned, communication lines set up, and he was ready. After long discussions with his medical officer, von Kleiner had issued orders to protect the health of his men. Orders for the purification of water, the disposal of sanitation and waste, for the issue of 5 grains of quinine daily to each man, and 50 other safeguards to health and morale. He had ordered an inventory made of stocks of food and supplies, and he was satisfied that with care he could subsist for a further 4 months. Thereafter he would be reduced to fishing and hunting and foraging. He had dispatched Killer upstream to make contact with the German commissioner and solicited his full cooperation. 4 days had been spent in hiding the Blücher under her camouflage, in setting up a complete workshop on the foredeck under sun awnings so that the engineers could work in comparative comfort. Now, at last, they had begun a full underwater appraisal of Blücher's wounds. Behind him, he heard the petty officer pass an order to the team at the winch. "Bring him up, slowly." The donkey engine spluttered into life, and the winch clattered and whined shrilly. Von Kleiner stirred against the rail and focused his full attention on the water below him. The heavy line and air pipe reeled in smoothly. Then suddenly the surface bulged, and the body of the diver was lifted dangling on the line. Black in shiny wet rubber, the 3 brass-bound cyclopean eyes of his helmet glaring grotesque as a sea monster, he was swung inboard and lowered to the deck. 2 seamen hurried forward and unscrewed the bolts at the neck, lifting off the heavy helmet, and exposed the head of the engineering commander, Lochtkamper. The heavy face, flat and lined as that of a mastiff, was made heavier than usual by the thoughtful frown it now wore. He looked across at his captain and shook his head slightly. "Come to my cabin when you are ready, Commander," said von Kleiner and walked away. "A small glass of cognac?" von Kleiner suggested.
"I'd like that, sir." Commander Lochtkamper looked out of place in the elegance of the cabin.
The hands that accepted the glass were big, knuckles scarred and enlarged by constant violent contact with metal, the skin etched deep with oil and engine filth. When he sank into the chair at his captain's invitation, his legs seemed to have too many knees.
"Well?" asked von Kleiner, and Lochtkamper launched into his report.
He spoke for 10 minutes,
and von Kleiner followed him slowly through the maze of technicalities where strange and irrelevant obscenities grew along the way. In moments of deep concentration such as these, Lochtkamper fell back on the gutter idiom of his native Hamburg, and von Kleiner was unable to suppress a smile when he learned that the copulatory torpedo had committed a perversion on one of the main frames, springing the plating whose morals were definitely suspect. The damage sounded like that suffered in a brothel during a Saturday night brawl. "Can you repair it?" von Kleiner asked at last.
"It will mean cutting away all the obscenely damaged plating, lifting it to the deck, recutting it, welding and shaping it. But we will still be short of at least 800 obscene square feet of plate, sir."
"A commodity not readily obtainable in the delta of the Rufiji River," von Kleiner mused.
"No, sir."
"How long will it take you if I can get the plating for you?"
2 months, perhaps."
"When can you start?"
"Now, sir."
"Do it, then," said von Kleiner, and Lochtkamper drained his glass, smacked his lips, and stood up.
"Very good cognac, sir."
He complimented his captain and shambled out of the cabin.